Clifton Hill. And so when you're working in, you know, food and beverage industry, and especially downtown Niagara Falls, you get to meet people from all over the world. Millions of people visit Niagara Falls every year. And so you get to meet some interesting people and you get to have some interesting conversations. And I'll never forget this one shift that I was working, where I was at this table and I had just taken their drink orders and I was suggesting some certain entrees on the menu. And I said, as I always do, I said, I'll be right back with your drinks and let me know if you have any questions. Now, I meant about the menu, right? And without hesitation, this man turns around and says, yeah, I got a question. What's the meaning of life? Yeah, that's what I did. I kind of swallowed my tongue a little bit because he was joking. But I thought, I should really have a good answer to this, shouldn't I? My mouth got all dry and, I mean, I had nothing. Nothing. What is the meaning of life? People have been gripped by this question throughout human history. What is the meaning of life? Why are we here? Wouldn't you love to be able to have a clear and concise answer to that question? Somebody asks you that, you find yourself in that situation. The church, for thousands of years, has been asking themselves this question. What's the point of the church? What is the mission of the people of God? And over the years, we've convinced ourselves of all sorts of things. We've convinced ourselves that the primary purpose of God's people is to grow the church. And it's not. It's not. We've convinced ourselves that the primary purpose of the people of God is to alleviate suffering and help the needy. It's not. It's not. We've convinced ourselves along the way that the primary purpose of God's people is to preach the word and to become a dynamic, worshiping community of faith. And it's not. It's not. The primary purpose of the people of God is to alert everyone and everywhere to the universal reign of God through Christ Jesus. That is the mission of the people of God. To alert the entire world, our God reigns. Our God reigns. To not only tell them, but to demonstrate it through our lives, through our lips and through our lives, we are to alert the world to the reign and rule of God. And so, we read it all throughout the Old Testament. Psalm 93:1 says, "The Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty." Psalm 97:1, "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice." Psalm 99:1, "The Lord reigns, let the people tremble." You read it all throughout the Old Testament, this continual repetition of "the Lord reigns." And then you read it in Revelation 19:6. There's this great multitude that are heard by John saying this, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." Our God reigns. This is our job and mission to communicate this to the world. If you have your Bibles with you, open with me to the book of Revelation in chapter 7. And the book of Revelation is a wonderful book written by a man named John. And we refer to his book as his Revelation or the Apocalypse. And it is something that John received while he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And he was given visions of where we were heading and what we were going to be experiencing as life on this earth comes to an end. So Revelation chapter 7, and this will be up on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you. We'll start in verse 9. This is what John sees. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" This would have been an amazing thing for John to hear. An innumerable multitude, so many people that you can't count. Now, when John's receiving this revelation, you could have counted the number of people who were followers of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how shocking this would have been to John? So many people are going to be gathering together one day, you will not be able to count them. And they're all going to worship God. People from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every kind of person around the world is going to be involved in this worship celebration. And so God's heart has always been for all of the world. All of the world. Sometimes people have labeled God as having favorites. He had Israel as his chosen people into the old covenant. And so people have looked at that and said, well, how could a God do that? How could he have a group, a nationality that he preferred? And whenever Israel was in conflict with somebody else, he gave protection and provision to Israel and not others. And so people have accused God of having favorites. But right from the very beginning, God's heart has been for the whole world. For the whole world. Ever since the beginning. And before there was Israel, before there was a nation called Israel, God entered into a covenant with a man named Abraham. And what he spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12:3, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. When God entered into a relationship with Abraham, he was picturing the world. When God worked through the people of Israel, his heart was always for the world. It was always to extend beyond that. And Israel, starting with Abraham, was the means through which God was going to save the world. From the very beginning, God has had a heart for every nation, every tongue, every people. And we read, Paul gives us this in Philippians chapter 2, says this, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And it says this, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, everybody, no exceptions. Do you realize that there will be a day when everybody will worship God? Everybody. Everybody. There is a day coming when the truth of God's glory and goodness will be revealed. All of the enemy's lies will be exposed as lies, and everyone will worship God. Here's the difference. Are you willing to start now? By your own choice. In faith. This is the thing when you worship God. Will you worship now by choice, or will you wait until you are so overwhelmed by his goodness and glory that your legs will literally give out beneath you and you will go, our God reigns. You'll have a revelation of that. Now is the only time that you are able to make the choices while you are on this earth. And that is why it is our assignment as the church to proclaim our God reigns for every nation. And this morning, we're going to be having cultural dishes from 15 different cultural backgrounds, because that just represents a picture of the diversity that is here within us as a church family. And we had someone who was visiting a few months ago, and that was the compliment that they gave me. They said, your church has so many different cultures represented in it. And as soon as they noticed that, they thought to themselves, this must be a healthy church. This must be a healthy church. Because people from all different backgrounds worship together. And so we have people who represent Canada, Italy, Scotland, Germany, the Philippines, Holland, Ghana, Serbia, Trinidad, Poland, Wales, Grenada, Nigeria, Sweden, England, and Jamaica. Did I miss anybody? Shout it out. The U.S., there we go. Israel. New Zealand. Zealand? Chile. Look at this, all represented in one room. This is a foretaste of the kingdom of God. This is a foretaste of what John was talking about in Revelation chapter 7, where people from all different backgrounds worship together. And so I want us to do a little bit of an activity here. I want us to, at the same time, on the count of three, I want us to all shout out our own cultural background. And if you were born in Canada, you know, whatever, wherever your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents were born, your cultural background, I want you to shout it out on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Germany. All right. Did anybody hear anything? Only if you were disobedient and didn't say anything and you were listening to the person beside you. Okay, so now I want to do something different. On the count of three, I want us to all shout the name of our Savior, Jesus. One, two, three.
Jesus!
Could you hear that? Loud and clear, isn't it? Loud and clear. See, when all of the different nationalities and all of the cultural backgrounds and the languages and all of the things that separate us, they disappear when we find our unity in Jesus. And when you read about this day that's coming, where everyone is going to worship, this innumerable multitude is going to worship people from all different cultural backgrounds, they are going to lift up their voices and in one accord worship God. No strife, no disunity. And the only thing that binds us together is Jesus. Is Jesus. People have asked and the people have written songs, why can't we all just get along? And we can't without Jesus. We can't. This is the only thing that binds us together. The prophet Isaiah spoke in the 52nd chapter about, says, how beautiful are the feet of the one who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, and who says to Zion, your God reigns. Blessed is the one who brings the good news. Well, what is the good news? Well, we know it now. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the life-changing information that Jesus Christ died for the world. And the prophet Isaiah spoke about the feet of these preachers going into the mountains. Now, do you know what mountains these were? These were not the mountains outside of Jerusalem. These were not the mountains of the people of God. These were the mountains outside of Babylon. You know what took place on those mountains? Pagan worship, sacrifices. The mountains were the high places, and so it was thought that if we could get to the high place, we would be closer to our God, and He would be more likely to accept our offerings. And unspeakable things happened on these mountaintops, and the prophet Isaiah said, "Blessed is that one who goes into the darkest places of the world, where nobody's worshiping God, and brings good news to the point where those people will say, your God reigns. Your God reigns." And so if the assignment of the church is to alert everyone, everywhere, of the rule and reign of God through Jesus Christ, that, at that moment, is when the Holy Spirit goes into operation. After we bring the news, after we demonstrate who God is to people, that's when the Holy Spirit shows up and He begins to work on the human heart. Did you know that you cannot work on somebody's heart? You can work on their mind. And when you speak the word, you can speak to their spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the one that then takes that and molds it and works in that person's life, and gives them the opportunity to decide for themselves if they will worship God. See, no one comes to faith, the word says, but by the leading of the Spirit. Nobody comes unless the Holy Spirit draws them. The Holy Spirit is the one that has invited each and every one of you into relationship with Christ. And at some point in time, many of you have made that decision that you were going to give your life to Christ, but it was the Holy Spirit working in you. But it is not the church's job to force people to believe. We alert them to the saving grace of God, and then the Holy Spirit goes into operation. He's the one who works on the hearts. He's the one who molds and draws people to Himself. And so we are not the ones to publish the good news. We're just the distributors. God published a book and He gave it to the church. And He said, it's your job to bring this. We are the distribution center? That's what I'm trying to say. If you talk long enough, the words come out, right? We are the distribution center for the truth of the Word of God. Here's something you need to know about the Holy Spirit. We've been studying the Holy Spirit throughout this month. The Holy Spirit never draws attention to himself. He draws attention to Jesus. He always draws attention to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not interested in being famous. He's interested in making Jesus famous. And so some people have accused the Pentecostal church of focusing too much on the Holy Spirit, and that's just not true. That's just not true. If you were to go back and look at Azusa Street Revival and what happened in at the Hebden Mission in Toronto during the initial Pentecostal movement in the early 1900s, if you were to read the testimonies and the things that were being written, you'd hear people writing and saying things like, "I've just fallen more and more in love with Jesus. I felt like Jesus literally walked into the room." You read stories of what happens when the Holy Spirit's at work in someone's life, and it's all about Jesus. It draws people closer to Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not want to be famous. He wants Jesus to be famous. And in the same way that an artist usually, and I preface this by saying usually, an artist usually does not want to necessarily become famous. They want their work to be made famous. They want their painting or their book or their movie or their dance. They want the art to become known so that it can touch people and influence people and do something inside of them. In the same way, the Holy Spirit does not want to be known. He wants to make Jesus known. He wants to draw all the attention to Jesus. And so when we alert people to the goodness of God, the Holy Spirit is constantly going to be reminding them of Jesus Christ. And it's for this reason that the world has a bone to pick with Jesus. There's something about that name that is very unsettling to the world. And that's why you can talk about God, you can talk about prayer, but to talk about Jesus, it puts the pressure on. And so in the same way that the Holy Spirit, he lives his life to demonstrate and draw attention to Jesus, that is the aim of the believer. Your life's goal should not be to be made known. If our intentions as a church are to be made known in our community, we're missing it. It's about making Jesus known. It's about making and drawing attention to our Savior. It's about making Jesus famous. So, how do we do this? How do we draw people's attention to the goodness of God? Draw people's attention to the rule and reign of God. How do we do that? Let me give you a simple way. Point to the tree in your front yard. Point to the clouds, to the sky, to the birds in the air. The book of Romans says that because of creation, men are actually without excuse, because creation necessitates a creator. If you look at the world around you, it points directly to God. It points directly to God. You want to know how you can have a nice answer for someone when they're asking you what the meaning of life is and they start asking you questions about life and faith and God? Point to a tree. How did that get there? How did that get there? There is nothing in this room that you would look at and not think, somebody put that there. Somebody made that. You don't look at the chair that you're sitting on and think, well, wow, like, so, well, millions of years ago, this tree must have just grown out of the carpet beneath it. It points to a creator. If you were to take, our world is just covered with technology being developed everywhere, and it's amazing the things that we can do with technology. If you were to take an iPad or an iPhone, and if you were to look at all every little gear, every little piece that it takes to assemble one of those, let's say you were to go to an Apple factory where they put together iPads, iPhones, Mac computers, it would be more likely that you would throw a stick of dynamite into that factory, explode the place, and all the little pieces necessary to put together an iPad fall into place, everything working in perfect order. It would be more likely for that to happen than for you and me to have breath in our lungs. the intricacy, the detail of how your human body works, just pause for a moment and hear your breath, hear the beating of your heart, and it points nowhere but to God. You are proof that our God reigns. Our God reigns. And you, in every nationality, look at men and women, male and female, were created in the image of God. Both male and female attributes came from God. Every nationality came from God. We are a reflection of God, but only when we all get together in the same room. I'm not a great reflection of God by myself, but when we get together, we represent something that's so much bigger than that. And so here we have this beautiful scene. I'll read it again. John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they're clothed in white robes." Why are they clothed in white robes? Because though our sin is as scarlet, we have been made as white as snow. We have been cleansed. And they're holding palm branches in their hand as a sign of victory, as a sign of triumph and celebration. And this is what they're crying: "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ." Here's a gathering of people that's so large. All kinds of people are gathered together. And I wanted to read this to you this morning to just get you excited for this day that's coming. And you go on and you can read through this and find out more about what's going on here. And this is taking place after the tribulation. And if you don't know what that is, that's not something I'm going to get into right now. But this is a day that's coming for us as believers, as the church. And we're going to be standing alongside one another. And there's going to be someone with a PhD standing beside somebody with a criminal record. Lawyers are going to be sitting beside someone who dropped out of high school. Pastors are going to be standing beside prostitutes, drug dealers. And none of that will matter anymore. Because at some point in their lives, they came alive to the reality that Jesus Christ has died for me. All of those things, all those external things, even the different nationalities, the different genders, the different educations, all of those things will mean nothing. And the thing that binds us together will be our faith in Jesus Christ. It's the thing that we will be celebrating for all of eternity. So why do we spend our lives looking at the things that divide us when we're going to be spending eternity celebrating the thing that unites us? The very thing that brings us all together. And we'll be able to see each other through the eyes of God. And when He looks at us, He sees us through the blood of Jesus. I'll ask the worship team to come on up. And so here we have this celebration and this realization that it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if you grew up in church. It doesn't matter if you were born into a family that practiced another belief, that worshiped another God. The reality is our God reigns. There is only one God. There is only one Savior. There is no one who can compete with Him. And so the beautiful thing that we can do is come to this by faith and by choice here on the earth. And every time that we worship God, you know what it is? It's like a dress rehearsal for the real thing. We're just practicing. We're getting ready for an eternity of getting together. Listen, if you're not, if coming to church services aren't your thing, you got to get used to this. This is going to be your full-time job. Forever. Forever. No more, maybe this is just what pastors dream about, no more looking at the time during service. I wonder if they're going to hold my table at Swiss Chalet. No more. No more. It's going to be all that you think about. How good your God is. 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 And the only thing that you will not be able to do for all of eternity, the one thing that you get to do here is fulfill your purpose, which is to alert everyone, everywhere, to the universal reign of God through Jesus Christ. You will never, listen, when your life on earth is over, you will never have an opportunity to make a difference in another person's life like you can here on the earth. You will never get another opportunity to make an eternal difference in somebody's life. But in this life, it is a gift that God has given you. You have an assignment. You have a calling. You have a purpose. And it is not your 9-to-5 job. It's not. And it includes, but is not limited to, your family. God has called us to be fruitful and multiply and raise up the next generation, but that is not our sole purpose. That is a part of our purpose. Very important. But as the people of God, we need to give our lives completely and totally to our calling. And when you speak the word into someone's life, the word tells us that His word will not return to Him void, but it will accomplish that which it was sent to do. So when you speak the word into someone's life, you might think, well, that's just information. I don't know if they're going to do anything with that. I don't know if they're actually going to make something happen because I don't know if there's going to be any fruit of that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know that. The word does not return void. So when you speak the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody, if they know that they have a need to confess Jesus as Lord. Paul says, some sow. I sowed, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Don't minimize a single opportunity. You're serving tables, somebody asks you what's the meaning of life, don't miss that opportunity like I did. I did nothing. Absolutely nothing. Every opportunity you get, point to a tree outside your front yard. There's a great conversation piece for you right there. Wonder how that got there. How do you think that got there? How do you think that flower got there? How do you think those dandelions got there? Those dandelions, those are resilient guys, aren't they? You got to work hard to get rid of those things. How did they get there? How did they get there? And man, humanity is without excuse, without excuse. You look at creation, it points to the Creator, but don't leave it at that. Make it your assignment to speak the word. Our God reigns. Let's stand together and let's worship.